Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. My name is Hakun Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time. And with me today are my co-hosts Ryan Whitfield and Scott King. All right, well, we got lots to talk about today because the NFL season is scheduled to start just around the corner on September 10th with the kickoff game between the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, led by the newly uber-rich Patrick Mahomes, who signed a 10-year, $503 million deal, and the Houston Texans. $503 million, guys, that is a lot of money. So let me ask you this, Scott. What would you do with $503 million?
I think the first thing I'd do would be to move to a tax-free state. That's for sure. You don't want to be paying
right.
extra taxes on that kind of money.
No kidding.
I definitely move somewhere where I could not see people for a long, long time, I think, would be my
preference. That's like every state. Right now, right?
Yeah.
It's not
right,
people
yeah,
for
exactly.
a while. So that's easier, not too bad, except for those tax-free states are pretty bad right now, so I don't know if you want to be in them at this moment. Hey, Ryan, you there? I got to ask you, what are you going to do with $503 million? Okay, so... That thought I had Ryan there, but it looks like I can't hear.
Can you hear me now?
So, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Oh my gosh! I thought for real that we weren't going to get you on the line today, Ryan. So this is a real special treat. I almost didn't announce you because I was talking to Scott before the show, and I'm like 50-50, not sure if it's going to happen. Then I saw you called in, and I was like, yes. All right, Ryan, $503 million. What would you do with that?
These days it's been 50-50 if you get me on here. Anyways, with everything I'm trying to juggle, so when
right
I'm on
now,
vacation,
right.
And vacation and drinking all day makes it an even less of a proposition. But here I am.
That's
so.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. That kind of money, I mean, you know, never work again. That'd be the easy answer, right? I'd go pursue more creative interests and
uncreative on this show, so I understand that.
Settle down and write the great American novel. I finally have the time to do that, so that would probably be what I'd be up to.
There it is. Yeah, and you don't even have to publish a great American novel of $503 million. You could just write it. Nobody ever has to read it.
Go drop it off at a couple bookstores myself, see if anyone ever reads it, you know?
Yeah, perfect. Hey, send me a copy when you're done with that, will you? Hey, listen, I'll tell you what
Absolutely.
Patrick Mahomes did. He became a part owner of the Kansas City Royals. Mahomes' dad, by the way, Pat Mahomes, was Major League pitcher for 11 years, and Mahomes himself was drafted as a baseball prospect in 2014 by the Detroit Tigers. So that's a big get for him, being a part owner of Kansas City Royals. Scott, you're a Lions fan. Are you a Tigers fan, too? Perchance?
Oh, yeah. 84 Tigers when I was a kid.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Chet Lund,
Bob,
Alan,
you have a rough go of it.
Yeah, but I still remember the championship back when I was a kid, so I hang out to it.
Yeah, so I know how that is, being a Bears fan. I hold on to that 85 Bears, too, and it's been a long time. It's been a long, long time. And being a Cubs fan, I had to live several lifetimes to get to my World Series. So, you know, I know how that is. Totally know how that is. Hey, if I had $503 million, I would become a part owner of the Bears, and I would fire every quarterback on our roster and pick up a quarterback who can throw the ball. That's what I would do with $503 million. Anyway, I digress. Football season creeping up on us. COVID-19's impact still huge. Have no idea how it's going to impact us. So what is the impact of COVID-19 on the NFL season as well as fantasy football? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, so let's get it going. As I mentioned, the NFL season is scheduled to start on September 10th, but the date is far from a lock. Originally, preseason games were supposed to run from late July through August, but slowly slipped away until the entire preseason was canceled on July 27th. Currently, the NFL does have contingencies in place similar to those built in to the 2011 schedule, which you guys all might remember with the lockout. Well, the 2020 schedule is designed in the same way. It's designed to allow the possibility that the season could be delayed and shortened in the event that conditions are unsafe to begin play in September as scheduled. Every game in Week 2 features teams which share the same bye week later in the season, which would allow those games to be made up on the team's bye weeks. Weeks 3 and 4 were set up so that there were neither any divisional rivalry games nor teams on byes those weeks. And every team with a home game in Week 3 will be on the road in Week 4 and vice versa. This would keep the season as fair as possible if some games have to be canceled. These scheduling changes, along with eliminating the week off before the Super Bowl and moving the Super Bowl back 3 weeks, would allow the NFL to play a 14-game schedule, at least beginning as late as October 29th, and still have the Super Bowl in February. But scheduling isn't the only question, as players have already opted out. But I'm going to get to that question next. Let's just focus right now on scheduling, because we've all seen that baseball came back just a week ago, and already they're having multiple postponed games with both the Marlins and the Phillies that were suspended due to COVID-19 outbreaks, and the MLB is having to scramble on the last week to reschedule games throughout the week. Plus, the NBA comes back soon playing in a bubble, something we're not going to see of the NFL, and there's the question as to whether that would be safer for players or not. So let me start with you, Scott. What do you think about COVID-19's impact on the NFL season, and what have you learned from the other sports?
Well, I think that the impact obviously is already happening, right, with the elimination of preseason. We've got workouts not really happening. Players aren't getting together. So we're already going to have a season that's going to, I think, have an asterisk by it, because we're not going to be able to evaluate players and rookies and
right.
the way that we normally would. So teams are really going to have to rely on their practices, and you know, hopefully they've been able to do joint practices. I haven't seen if that's been canceled yet. So, you know, there's this theory of getting rid of preseason going to 18 games. So from the NFL standpoint, they're going to get to see what that's going to look like somewhat this year. So I'd expect to see some ugly football the first couple weeks of the season. And,
no doubt.
You know, as teams are kind of finding their way. I've been watching, so I watch any sport that's on TV. I watched a lot of iRacing even when it was on. So I've been watching
right.
Premier League Soccer. Some of the stuff overseas came online, and they've all been playing at their home stadiums without fans and relatively without incident. As far as I can tell, the quality was okay. The first couple of games were a little rough. And then we've also seen the NASCAR come back, which obviously there's not as much contact between the drivers, but they've been adding back fans slowly over the last several races. So you're starting to see an example of how you can, you know, get players on the field and do it in a safe way, and then also a way to get fans into the building, which is good. And then the one that I really look at also is UFC, which is just one-on-one. It's a much, much smaller number of people, but the contact is as high as you can get, right? I mean, two people wrestling around on the ground is much more bodies in contact and exchanging viruses than you get in any sport, and they've done it in a really good way. So I think there's definitely some maps to look at, and I think when the NBA comes back, that's going to be interesting as well, and then the NHL is
yep.
doing these little mini hubs. What's given me hope is that there's a lot of lessons learned that are happening before football comes up. So they can look at European soccer. They can look at NASCAR with fans in the seats, baseball. You know, they're going to have a chance to really learn what's going on. And hopefully they implement all that and we don't end up with a shortened season.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the danger here. But they do have some, like I said, built-in contingencies to make it a shorter season if necessary. Let me flip it over to you because I want to get back to the impact of other sports in a second. But let me flip it over to you, Ryan, and ask you about your thoughts about the impact of COVID-19 on the NFL season so far and what you think might happen in light of what we've seen, like you said, with baseball, what we see with NASCAR, what we see with the Premier League. And then most recently we saw that the U.S. Golf Open is going to be without any fans coming up soon. So, you know, what are your thoughts about how it's going to impact the NFL season?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of factors here to consider, and a lot of, you know, changing circumstances. So what I would say is that I think personally, there's a headline. I want to say Wall Street Journal had it. Somebody had it, but it was a perfect headline the other day about the juxtaposition that it said on the same day that the NHL recorded zero positive tests across the league, the NFL or the MLB has 14, you know, players and coaches on the Marlins test positive.
Right.
And to me, the point is that I think, without getting too much into the political side of it, that the environment right now in the U.S. Has kind of cultivated this separate ideologies on how much we should, how serious we should take it, if we should actually wear masks, yada yada. So that's been part of, I think, a growing issue in the country of that this has not been studied. So it leads me to say that I personally think that sports cannot return to normal. At least the four major, you know, sports where there's a lot of contact, locker rooms, shared areas, without it being done in bubble cities. I think the NHL and NBA have it right. I think the MLB and the NFL have it wrong. The examples of NASCAR, you know, NASCAR with pit crews and stuff, there's certainly more teams, but, you know, specifically with the PGA Tour, I mean, you can virtually have zero contact with other human beings. You know, the golf can be set up that way. As far as the Premier League, I won't sit here and pretend to be familiarized with all of Europe's standards of action, you know,
right,
and what's been done through this. But I do know, and I don't know if they're still doing it, but back in, and at least as recently as May, that in England they had issued over 14,000 fines for people breaching lockdown. So that was a country that took it to the more extreme level. So when you talked about sports in that league, and then being able to move around more and more, I mean, they had an environment set up where if you left your home, you were, you know, you were being fined. So I just think
right,
there's a lot of different factors like that to consider. So when I look at the NFL in our pre-show conversation, I think Scott had mentioned that he, you know, doesn't expect like the league to not happen or anything. And ultimately, I agree, because I think the NFLPA is one of the weakest unions in all the pro sports in this country, if not the weakest, particularly here locally. With the six Patriots this week opting out, I mean, the Patriots are the prime candidates of guys who are going to opt out. Patrick Chung and Dont'a Hightower have made all their money. They've been, you know, they're on like the third and maybe fourth contract for Patrick Chung. They both won three Super Bowls. They literally can prioritize their family. You know, I think that there needs to be a number of guys to step up and back out so that they can force the owner's hands on this bubble city. You know, set up a plan like that, and that's what I would like to see for the NFL, because I think it's the best chance that it comes back. But as a guy we talked about earlier, you know, until a Patrick Mahomes, who's all of his money is ahead of him, not behind him, until that caliber of player starts to say, I'm opting out this year. You know, so the guys who really would have something to lose, until we start seeing the stars in the league, you know, him, Deshaun Watson, Jared Goff, you know, other guys in the younger side of their careers and stuff, Jimmy Garoppolo, those are the kind of guys you need to say, hey, I'm not playing, before the owners really have to take notice and be concerned about the season. So we'll see if we see that, but I just think that, you know, so far the people that have opted out for the most part are people that are in ideal condition, you know, situations to do so. So, but ultimately, I think if you want a successful season with no stoppage, that's what you're looking at. And then the last point to touch on, as Scott mentioned, you know, we should expect to see some sloppy football in the beginning. I mean, we should expect to see some really sloppy football in the beginning, because if you look at the way September looks now versus 10 years ago, when before they went and eliminated, you know, most of the contact in training camp and limited the number of practices and all of that, September's already gotten really sloppy based off that anyways. And most insiders in the league will tell you, meaning people that are in front offices and players and stuff, will tell you that it's just, without having the contact, without having the hitting, it's impossible to be fully in football shape without those kind of reps. So now you're going to eliminate the four preseason games. I mean, you're talking, we could be talking midway through the season before we see anything that resembles like good football to watch. And I do think that the roster sizes, while necessary, going from 90 to 80, eliminate certain competition in camp, which I think is going to make some of the guys who, you know, it takes a full camp for really the bottom guys to rise up and take over a position. So does that take off some of the intensity of the 80 players that are there? The guys who can coast a little bit more, and so even less ready for the beginning of the season. So, yeah, I mean, again, I don't know what the answer. I think football is the most complicated, just given the roster sizes and the nature of the sport. It's going to be one of the most complicated
yep.
to return to. But I think first you got to find a way to do hub cities.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting point, and I know we talked about it a little, and Scott, you mentioned this a little bit as well. So, you know, we all just said, we all know NBA's coming back, it's actually coming back tomorrow, and they had an announcement today that of the 344 players tested for COVID-19 on the NBA campus since test results were last announced on July 20, zero have returned confirmed positive tests. So they are zero COVID-19, but on the flip side, Major League Baseball, the Marlins, surprisingly and incredibly, 16 of the 33 players who traveled to Philadelphia for this past weekend series have tested positive, and two of Marlins staff members have tested positive from the travel. What do you think here, Scott, about this idea of a bubble or hub cities for the NFL? Do you think that would make sense for it, or do you think that would be better than what they have going on right now?
I think it would be complicated. I mean, obviously it's complicated, right, because you're really starting to isolate teams and try to keep control. I know we had players who wandered off looking for some chicken wings and ended up, you know, contaminating their bubble.
Right.
So I think
yep.
it makes it, you know, a little challenging to do that. I'd really rather not see them head that direction, but I think from an NFL standpoint, they're committed to putting product on the field. And as far as
yep.
like players opting out, we've seen the NFL literally take people out of the parking lot, throw jerseys at them, and have them play what looks like football. So the NFL is not afraid to put an inferior product on the field just to keep their product out there. So I think it would take an awful lot for them to cancel the season. But hub cities is definitely an option, but they better have that plan in place now and ready to pull the trigger, because there's nobody talking about it as far as I've seen.
Yep, no, that's definitely true. And a related issue, of course, is what is it going to be like, regardless of whether it ends up in a bubble or in its natural travel in the local stadiums. And that's something you had mentioned a little bit, Scott, about how NASCAR is letting some fans in. The European Premier League has not allowed fans in. Interestingly, there's kind of split on how that's going to work in the NFL. The Philadelphia Eagles have announced that they were not going to allow any fans in. In contrast, the New England Patriots say that will come phase four, they will allow some fans in, maybe limited to about 20% capacity. Let me get your thoughts on that, Ryan. What do you think? Are we going to have fans in the stands, or is that kind of a pipe dream for the NFL?
Yeah, I think it's a pipe dream, personally. I think it's you know, again, of the four major sports, and it's a league I love and I love to watch. But when you look at the dispersion between the Players Association and the owners, when you look at, like Scott said, that this is a league that is not afraid to put out an inferior product.
Right.
They do have, you know, and the whole idea of the teaching, you know, tell the players to protect the shield, or whatever the terminology they use is when they enter the league, that there is this emboldened attitude of borderline, if not borderline, arrogance of that they just
right.
don't care,
right.
and so they're gonna do stuff that other leagues wouldn't do. So I think it's a terrible idea from as a human on this planet,
yep.
who does not
yep.
pretend to be a scientist or have all the answers on coronavirus, but you know, as someone who just, you know, I take the overall general medical consensus on it and say that putting 20% volume of fans in there, I know me personally, as much as I miss sports, I miss concerts, I miss activities, large gatherings, it's going to be a long time and probably until there's a vaccination before I personally feel comfortable being back in that. So I can't imagine seeing crowds right now when the other leagues aren't doing it. However, if there is a league that would allow it, it's the NFL. So,
yeah.
And I'd honestly put it as a coin flip. I really don't know which way the wind will blow on that one. But I feel confident saying that the first league that would have 20% occupancy in their stadiums would be the NFL.
Yeah, and interesting, we can look to college football as what they're doing as well. Most of the places have been silent about how many people will be in the stands, but most recently some schools, and including Notre Dame, has announced that they're going to allow only students and faculty to be in games. So no one other than students and faculty, which would still be a relatively good amount of people in the stands. You know, we're talking somewhere around 20,000 people. So that's about 25% capacity or so. I mean, that's a lot of people in the fans in the stands still, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Of course, who knows what's going to happen with the college football season as well. And I don't know if you saw this, Ryan, but our team, Notre Dame, now part of the ACC this year, going to be available to play an ACC championship. How interesting will that be if we even have a season, of course, because there are people opting out there as well. And lightning question for both of you, okay? Just yes or no, whether you think it's good or not. You know, I know that the Premier League started this. A friend of mine who's a Premier League fan hates it. They start piping in crowd noise during games. Now, they're doing this for the MLB as well. They're using the PlayStation 4 MLB The Show game in order to pipe in sound crowd noises for the game, including oohs and ahs when they're hits. It's a little bit interesting. It's weird. But what do you think, Scott, piping in sound for the game and fan sound, crowd noise for NFL games, yay or nay?
Absolutely, yes. I've watched
okay.
dead silent soccer games.
Yep. We lost you there, Scott. You still there?
Oh, I'm sorry. You got me?
Yep, gotcha.
Oh, yes. For me, it's a yes.
Okay. And I said you said you watched dead quiet Premier League games. It's a little weird, right?
Yeah, it's like watching my son's soccer practice.
Not to say that he's a bad soccer player or anything and not entertaining in his own right, but I understand. Without having crowds, it's tough. What do you think, Ryan, yay or nay, piping in sound, crowd noise for NFL games?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the debate I've heard on this from people, you know, there's people that say it's cheesy, it's fake, and there's other people that say, like Scott, like it just feels less real when you hear it in silence. When you look at it, both options suck. You know, you'd rather have the real fans in it. You can't have that. So I agree with Scott in the sense that it's too eerie and hollow to watch it with zero sound. And I've not watched a lot of the Premier League, but the one reference point I have is close to 10 years ago when the riots were happening in Baltimore and the Orioles played
right.
that 3-game series in Baltimore with no fans, and
yeah.
they because that was done on the fly. They had no crowd audio to pump in, and it was just a silent game, and it was a weird feeling. It's just
it was
neither one's natural or normal. Give me the fake sound over the no sound.
I totally agree with both of you. Let's go ahead and debate on that one and move on to our next topic, because now I'd like to turn to the other part of the equation, which will certainly impact real NFL games as well as fantasy football, and that's player opt-outs. Now, under the amended collective bargaining agreement between the NFL and the NFLPA, agreed to on July 24th, players have the choice to opt out of the 2020 NFL season due to COVID-19. If a player wishes to opt out, he must provide his club with a written notification within 7 days of the date that the NFL and NFLPA finalize the agreement that includes the terms of such opt-out, so essentially end of July. To be designated a voluntary opt-out, a player must be under contract or subject to the tender. The player's contract will toll, however, he will not receive an accrued season. The player will be eligible for a stipend of $150,000 to be treated as salary against his tolled contract. To be designated as a higher-risk opt-out, which is another type of opt-out, the player must have a diagnosis reflected in their medical records of at least one of the factors based on a modified list of CDC risk factors that makes COVID-19 particularly dangerous, such as having cancer, serious heart conditions, asthma, hypertension, among a lot of others. So a higher-risk opt-out will receive an accrued season towards free agency and all benefits and minimum salary credit for the credited season, and is also eligible for a stipend of $350,000, which will not constitute a salary advance. So there have been a number of voluntary opt-outs, and there have been a number of higher-risk opt-outs, and there's been a number of unspecified opt-outs. Not a lot of big names, but certainly, as you mentioned there, Ryan, the New England Patriots leading the way. Dante Hightower, Dan Vitale, Brandon Bolden, Najee Turan, and Patrick Chung, of course, also opting out, and Marcus Cannon also opting out. That's a big list. But really not huge, huge names so far opting out. And I know this is something we were just talking about. Just today, though, Kansas City Chiefs, Damian Williams opting out for the season. So that's also really, really interesting. So let me ask you, Scott, what do you think? What do you think about the COVID-19 and the player out? How is that going to affect your fantasy football strategy this year? Obviously, we know how it's going to affect the NFL, but how is it going to affect your fantasy football strategy this year?
Yeah, this is the biggest struggle with getting ready for a draft, right? So this is kind of the Le'Veon Bell situation times 100, where a couple years ago
right.
when he was kind of on the fence, was he going to play, was he not? People were drafting him early. This is when he was top five fantasy pick, most leagues. So people were drafting him, not knowing, and then they were getting burned. I personally am going to try to push every draft I can to the last possible second, because you don't know what's going to happen. And then there's also, if the play is as bad as we think it's going to be, there's going to be some players on the fence that maybe after week two decide, you know what, I'm not going to risk my career to play some horrible brand of football. I'm out. And so you're right. going to have this mixture of guys that are bailing now. And then, you know, let's say you're 6-10 or you're, you know, 6-6 or 4-6 or something. And you decide, I'm not going to risk the rest of my season. I'm out. So it's going to be a really, really big problem for fantasy, and it's going to make, you know, your draft and the depth of your draft so much more important, because, you know, at the end of the day, there's players, you know, the Patrick Mahomes and these guys, their careers are set. But there's guys that are barely making rosters that are going to want to make a name for themselves, and they're going to play no matter what. You know, the same guys that play injured, the same guys that try to play with concussions. And so those guys are going to play. And so that's where you've got to really be smart about the depth charts and looking late in the draft. So you're not going to want to take four tight ends late in the draft just because you got some roster spots to burn. You're going to have to be real smart about your skill positions and make sure you've got the depth of those players who may be second or third string, who you think is going to hang around and actually get on the field.
Yeah, and it's actually interesting to me because I haven't actually started reading about who it is who might have a kid soon, because, you know, those types of things, or who it is who has an elderly parent that lives nearby or something, because those things can actually impact the player's decision as to whether they want to opt out or not. You know, it is who knows if it's a shortened season. If the season ends up getting shortened even more or shutting down early, they may not get anything out of it. Do they really care if it tolls their contract? And anyway, I don't know. Anyway, lots of good thoughts there. Definitely have your depth in line. Ryan, let me ask you, how is this opt-out, this player opt-out issue, how does that impact your fantasy football strategy?
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, and this is probably the antithesis of what I should say on this show or as somebody who constantly works in the industry, but I have almost no interest in this fantasy football season. I want football
wow.
back. I want to watch football this year. But it's just, it's really twofold. One, I feel it's going to be very difficult to win a league this year. And two, if you win, especially in a league that's like a, you know, more of a legacy league where, like, you know, most of us all are in multiple leagues. We have that
right.
one league back home with all our friends where it's constant ribbing about you've never won one and stuff. Like, I always hate the term, but
right.
it would be an asterisk win season. It's just going to be, because the opt-out is only – it's one small facet of what you have to consider. So first of all, I mean, if you're going to do a league, first thing I say is you've got to eliminate – or change so many of your rules. First of all, I think every league should be widening their benches by 3-4 slots at least, minimum. You should be able to carry a crap ton more players than normal. Also, I hate leagues that are like this anyways, but if you're one of those leagues that there's a cutoff Sunday morning or Sunday game day where you can make a swap for a player, I think you have to eliminate that. I think if you make a switch before the game starts, it should count for that
right.
day. So those are two considerations immediately. With the extra slots, it would help your draft strategy, as you mentioned, with the opt-out here of just being able to target guys, you know, load up the positions you wouldn't normally target, guys who were third or fourth in the depth chart, you know, because, you know, you look at the Kansas City situation like you just mentioned. I'm in a dynasty league with Matt Hicks, actually. He runs it. It's called the Fantasy Premier League. Matt Hicks, we've had on here
mm-hmm.
before, I believe.
Yeah,
okay. So we're in a dynasty league with him. I had the number one overall pick because we got ravaged by injuries last year, and we took Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So you would think that we'd be pumped that Damien, because I have a co-manager in that league, we'd be pumped that Damien
yeah.
Williams is out. But then we just talk about no preseason. There's been no real camps and stuff. Am I really supposed to expect that a rookie running back is going to jump into a crazy season with absolutely no reps and he's just all of a sudden going to be the number one guy there. So now do you look at a guy like Darwin Thompson? I mean, there's just so many questions to ask around all these players in these situations. And then when you really take the COVID thing out to the nth degree, the part that's really going to make this year difficult that I just, you know, I think that people need to consider more is, you know, the MLB, we're seeing the issue of the Marlins. The test came back 3 days, but even for the rapid testing, I mean, you could have a situation where there's an undetected breakout in a specific locker room of you know, a player, even two players. So you're stacking, you know, not that, you know, most people don't do this, but say in a wild world, well, let's go Matt Ryan. Let's not do the three receivers. Say you got Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. All week, there's nothing. Neither one of them hurt. They're having a great season. All of a sudden, Sunday morning, game time, the test results come back. They both tested positive for corona. They're out that day. And now all of a sudden, you're out, your number one receiver and your quarterback. So it's just like there's just so many question marks. There's so much to factor in this year. Like you said, are we all going to start doing that? Or do we all need to create family trees now of every player to know whose family lived close to them, who's pregnant, who's not pregnant?
Right.
The whole thing is just such a mess. And, you know, and like Scott said, the show will go on. You know, the famous reference that everyone uses, and it's a good one because it is slightly comical. You know, one of the most vocal people during the lockout in 2011 was Antonio Cromartie because he had, you know, nine children with eight different women, and that's a lot of child support. And so Antonio Cromartie, even though was not the highest paid corner in the league, he still made pretty decent money. But because of his life choices, Antonio Cromartie could not afford to miss game checks. So that man was very vocal in 2011 saying, we need to go back to work. I will play. He would have crossed the picket line. He would not have cared. So there's just too many players like that in this league. That all comes back to, again, how weak the union is, how little rights the NFLPA has compared to others. I mean, you just the juxtaposition between the MLBPA versus the NFLPA, they're miles apart. The NFL players have there's just too many guys. There's too many, you know, again, Scott said the bubble guys. The average career in the NFL is 3 years. They don't have guaranteed contracts and money. For the guys who are drafted in the sixth round, even if you stick around the 3 years, you're probably going to make $1.6 million total before taxes get taken out. So when that gets taken out, so if you're going to miss one of those years, like, you're not going to say no. You're not opting out. You're going to play. It is the guys who are in ideal situations that can say no, that can walk away. But those guys are few and far between in the league. There's too many with the rosters the size they are. There's too much of a proportion of them that need every game check. It'll never happen. But as far as fantasy strategy, I mean, you got to be a doomsday prepper this year. Prep for every nightmare scenario in the world. And honestly, if you're in a league where your commissioner's not willing to make rules that are tailored specifically to coronavirus, I would, especially if there's money involved, it's not just a for fun league, I would opt out of that league this year. I tell if your commissioner's not going to be amenable to the situation, then I would walk away from that league.
Yeah,
honestly,
no,
probably
I agree.
For good, because that commissioner's probably a jerk.
Are you calling me a jerk, Ryan? I kind of feel like you're calling me a jerk right now. No, I am going to make those changes. I promise you. So let's see. Let me just sum up here, because what I hear from both of you guys are recommendations to those league commissioners and recommendations to players. To those league commissioners who set up leagues, go for bigger benches, allowing players to get more depth. And make sure that you have no locks on pickups until game time, so that people have more flexibility, because who knows if players are going to be going out. And for the something that I like that I've seen in baseball leagues that I'm in right now, fantasy baseball leagues, is that IR spots or IL spots, I should say, are usable with those who have COVID-19. So if a player comes out of COVID-19, he can go right onto your IL spot. I would activate those IR spots and COVID-19 spots in fantasy football to allow people to keep those players and pick up other players up until game time in order to take their place. So those are recommendations that I think we all have together for commissioners, for players. Get really good depth. Be a doomsday prepper. Make sure you get your handcuffs. You got to make sure that you have enough depth, because you don't know what's going to happen with these rosters. You don't know what's going to happen with these players, and it could hit anybody. I also am a little bit wary about certain hotspots, to tell you the truth. I mean, look at Miami is a hotspot, and the Marlins got hit. And then you got the Phillies just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. So things to think about when you go into a fantasy league. And that's all the time we got, guys. I mean, oh, my gosh, it goes so fast. But, that was a speedy one. Let's hit the air horn on the show. And, Ryan, why don't you give us your social media so people can follow you?
Yeah, my social media is at Ryan Whitfield. And just one quick plug, even though I just ripped on fantasy sports this year, I am doing a featured Monday and Tuesday DFS column for Fantasy Pros now. So follow me on Twitter so you can get those DFS advice columns every Monday, Tuesday morning.
That's right. Don't play fantasy, but play DFS and read Ryan's column. That's what we're saying here right
play
now.
Play DFS MLB. That one I support right now.
That's MLB? All right. That's fair. That's fair. All right. Scott, give us your social media so people can follow you.
Yeah, it's at NFL Fantasy _ more. And just to jump on that, though, seriously, you may want to abandon some of your season-long leagues and just focus on DFS because you'll have a better idea who's playing. So that's a really good point.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea. I mean, obviously, I think we're all big DFS players as well as season-long, and DFS definitely much easier to accommodate this type of situation. So, all right, thanks, everybody, for wasting time with us. Thanks, Ryan, Scott, being on the show. This is going to be – it's been a while. I mean, I can't believe it, but we were actually off the air for almost a full month, so I'm glad we made it back on the air as we kind of creep up on the NFL season. Hey, until next time, everyone, enjoy sports this week. You know, sports is back, at least for the time being. We'll see how long that lasts. But we got baseball, basketball coming up tomorrow. Fingers crossed, we got a lot of stuff coming on down the road, and we'll get closer to the start of the NFL season. So until next time, see you all and enjoy your NFL week.
And Joey Alibro, if you listen to this, we didn't miss you.
Joey did carry the show a couple times in the past, so I'll give him a break this time.
I don't want to hear it.